cost figures will be different. But I do think there is some danger of that, and there's considerable danger of the how we use volunteers in the way it's written.
Well,
you're having a discussion of that this morning. And this morning, Senator, you said official capacity under the control of, but the next words in that line, or the use of the vehicle, are under the control of. And when my wife, who is a drill team advisor, takes the drill team on a trip, the common way that's done is for her to drive the school van, myself to take a car, and two other parents to take a van or a car. I would interpret all of those vehicles as been, their vehicles aren't under her control, but the use of them for this activity, surely I would conclude she is influencing or controlling. I know she influences the one I drive, but that may be a different point. And that's, you said earlier that you may argue that. Well, we don't want to have to argue that if possible. That's a common way to get kids to small activity, tennis teams, wrestling teams, FFA, dance teams, rally squads, speech teams, those kinds of things. It's very, very common that you have parents that do part of it. And we believe it's important that we not lose that. Our concern, I think your concern and ours can be met if you believe there's legislation that's necessary, that you not try to write rules in the legislation, that you instruct the State Department to draft and enforce rules related to the use of vehicles transporting kids to activities. And then let us work with the staff at the State Department and write rules that will both be safe, and I think that Mr. Spear, I'm sure they would write rules that would be not consistent with some folks' thinking, but in the district, but they would be, we would be able to work out what is both safe and what can we still do to get the job done. And the irony of the bill, it seems to me, one of them is that if you look in sections 12 through 14, it says the State Department shall adopt and enforce rules, and it says the higher ed may adopt and enforce rules. And the bill was, the impetus is out of a problem in higher ed, and we're having to deal with it more directly, I think. And I don't think that our record shows that we need a statute with the rules in the statute. It may be that the concern is such that you want rules and instruct the State Department to write such rules. And I think they'll be written so that they meet the needs of schools and trying to transport kids and guarantee the safety of kids.
Okay. Any further questions? I don't have anyone else who has signed up to testify on this, but Claudia and I are sitting here making a list of people that we would like to involve in rewriting this. And she is going to ask probably Ozzie to be one of those people. Mr. Spear, Representative Hostica's L.A., and anyone else who is interested in participating in that, to sit down with legislative counsel and to figure out what the concerns are and how to handle them and how to word it so that you can understand what it means and that it does what the intention is.
I make one more comment, Madam Chairman?
Yes, Ozzie. And then I don't
want to make earlier. My argument or my encouragement that you let the rule writing be done by the State Department, I want to illustrate one point. Earlier, Mr. Spear pointed out that in here there's a rule about stopping at railroad tracks, and that's a good rule for buses, not a good rule for vans, probably, in his estimation. And that is our concern, to try to write rules in the statute and before legislative committees. A lot of things don't appear that ought to appear, and that the rules written by the State Department have the same impact as law, and you have some time to really address all the different things and the kinds of examples we talked about, whether volunteers are or not covered. That can be done very carefully with a lot of input, and it won't happen when you write it here. And I think your need would be met if you say, State Department, you now write rules for buses. We want you to write rules for how activities are treated. And then let us have a chance at working with it to write those. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Simmons had a question, and then Senator
Adams. I have two observations, Madam Chair. One was that maybe on this rule-writing committee, I think the AG's office has a person who reads contracts to see if they are written in plain English. That might be an addition. The second is an observation that I think three times in the last couple of years I have, on my travels between here and Salem, been passed by school vehicles, two of which were vans and one was an actual yellow school bus, driving well over 70 miles an hour and cutting in and out. The most recent one was just a couple of weeks ago, and it was turned out to be a Hillsborough High School owned vehicle, and I was able to get a hold of the superintendent there and indicate that something was lacking in their supervision. In this case, it was a van load of young women who not only were driving at least 75 miles an hour, but changing lanes occasionally and carrying on very animated conversations from the driver to the people in the back seat, and in my opinion was an accident on its way to happen. And so there are situations where I think some controls are needed. Maybe the bill is like many good attempts. You ask for the time and somebody builds you a watch. You ask for needed controls and you get a whole plethora of rules and regulations that beat the subject to death. And maybe that's what's happening here. So I think it's a good idea, but I do think we should make it understandable and maybe not quite in such depth and detail.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Simmons. Senator Thames?
Madam Chair, I'm just curious, being on the Education Committee also, did the Department of Higher Ed, did all departments take part in writing this bill? And, you know, and that section irritates me that they'd have the Higher Ed may adopt, and they say the Board of Education shall adopt. Did everybody take part in this, the writing of this bill?
Claudia probably can answer that.
I can't answer that, except that language is older language. Also, yeah. That's not new language.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is older language, correct.
But I just think irony is
already
pointed out.
Since they're the one that won the bill.
Okay, Senator Brenneman.
Madam Chair, I would suggest maybe that when looking at some of the changes here, that you look at allowing the individual school districts to adopt the rules and not come from the state. Department of Education. I think districts you'll find throughout the state will vary all over the place, and if I can offer myself as an expert witness at this point, I, as well as my wife, has served as volunteers in our area as drivers for a lot of years, hauling kids to Central Oregon and Eastern Oregon and other for choir concerts and ball games and cheerleading. Schools and all types of things, and I can quite frankly tell you that if guidelines like these were adopted, I would not serve, and I'm sure my wife would not serve. There's one little proposed rule here. I understand these are just some suggestions that might occur, but my wife has a little doggy that she travels with every place she goes, and it says here that you drivers shall not permit animals or potential hazardous materials in the vehicle. I think many of us as volunteers use very good sense, and as Mr. Thompson said, in a small community, those school people know the parents and others in the community know who the drivers are. We also have the situation where the Booster Club, at some expense there in Newport, has purchased a used small van, and they rotate drivers in there, and if they're going to have to be some type of certification for them, I'm sure that it will make it even more difficult to find drivers, which it already is not an easy task to do at this time. I'd like to point out again that the testimony given this morning of the safety record of the schools has been very good. Ours in Lincoln County School District has been good for years in the use of volunteers, and looking at legislation that would perhaps curtail that, it scares me a lot, and I would really have to say at this point there's not much way that I could support the bill the way it is now.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
And I'm afraid maybe not in any form. And that's the only way that it might be able to is if the individual districts were able to develop their own guidelines, that they were directed to do that.
Okay, we'll see what comes out of the work here. Are there any more questions for these two people? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay. Members speak.
Is there anyone else who wants to make any comments on this bill before we close the hearing? Okay. Close the hearing on Senate Bill 326 and go to a work session on several bills that are from the Subcommittee on Motor Vehicle Code, and start out with Senate Bill 110. Claudia, we've got folders with amendments, staff measure analysis, and an engrossed, hand-engrossed copy of the bill. Now.
Madam Chair, I think Janet's going to have to bring me a copy of the amendment we were copying.
There's my copy of the amendments. We didn't write dash one, so we went to dash two.
It's interesting. I don't know what happened to dash one.
Maybe it didn't work in Legislative Council.
We didn't.
We
did
it. Okay.
I only asked for one second.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 110 is a product of minor substantive changes requested by the Motor Vehicles Division at the May 29th meeting of the Joint Interim Committee on the Revision of the Motor Vehicle Code. That's almost a year ago. All of the changes relate to driver licenses and driver permits. You should have received yesterday evening a section-by-section analysis presented by DMV, and unless you all really want me to go through it, I think I won't.
Well, I would just say for the rest of the committee that we endured that in the subcommittee, and it was real hard to stay awake. And I don't if the other members of the committee want us to go through that, we can, but I'd sure rather not.
Just trust us.
I don't think they're interested anyhow. Okay.
The subcommittee recommended some, also based on testimony from the Motor Vehicles Division, recommended some minor amendments be made to the bill, and you have those amendments in front of you. And you also have an engrossed bill.
And the amendments were...
We changed, Madam Chair, as I recall,
Senator
duplicate to replacement.
Yeah. Oh, and we did some language grammatical corrections on page 4, line 6 and line 9. We didn't like the way the grammar read there. Yeah, so
on line 6, Madam Chair, you should take that comma out after compensation.
Right.
Pardon me?
Take the comma out.
Page 4, line 6.
Is there any objection to...
On my hand engrossed. You haven't got the hand engrossed.
No, I don't have the hand engrossed.
You don't have one?
I do.
Oh, there you
I
are.
Just
okay.
Look for it.
Okay. On page 4 of your hand engrossed bill, there is, on line 6, Senator Fry brings out a point that's not in the printed amendments, and I so would ask if there isn't any objection if we also further make a change on line 6 to remove the comma after compensation, because it shouldn't be there with the new language. Is there any objection to that? Okay, that takes care of that. Now, we deleted... On page, I mean, yeah, same page, 16 and 17.
Madam Chair.
We deleted that because it's covered in the other part?
That line was inadvertently left in there. Apparently, that same wording is in line 9.
Yes, it is.
That was.
That should have been removed anyhow.
Yeah.
Okay. Then on page 5. We made further amendments to add reasonably believes.
And to...
Because... And to substitute that for in the opinion of. Because it had been taken out in line 12 and line 15 under our discussions in the interim committee, and it hadn't been changed in that other line. So that took care of that. Then, on page 7, we got into the replacement or duplicate discussion, and a replacement is a replacement, and there's not a such thing as a duplicate. So we took that out on page 7, line 19 and line 27. Then we did the same thing on page 8 at the end of that section, lines 27 and 28. We're recommending to this committee that you please do that. Because as a subcommittee, we can't amend the bill. Then on page 11, we added on line 11 the correct name of that particular permit, because it is listed as a permit application fee. So we made it say the same thing that it's labeled as in the part where all of the fees are listed over on the following pages of the bill. And that is all that we were proposing as amendments. Are there any questions about all of these long, drawn-out things that this bill does that are not really anything major? Is there a motion?
Move the amendments.
Senator Simmons moves that we amend Senate Bill 10 with the amendments that are Legislative Council LC 110-2 dated 3/20/85. Is there any objection to doing that? So ordered. Senator Simmons moves Senate Bill 110 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? If not, will you call the roll, Janet?
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Timms?
Aye.
Senator Frye?
Aye.
Senator Steeves?
Aye. Motion carried. Who wants to carry this wonderful creature?
I don't mind.
Senator Frye will do this. Thank you very much. Yeah, I got it.
I love the way we all speak up so enthusiastically
at once.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, the Poor Motor Vehicles Division, every session we do these things, and I always wind up saying to them, I think if I ever see another one of these, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do to it. Let's go ahead with a work session on Senate Bill 111. Claudia?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 111.
Okay.
Senate Bill 111 was introduced by the Joint Interim Committee on the Revision of the Motor Vehicle Code, and it makes certain changes related to suspended driver's licenses as requested by the Motor Vehicles Division. You have your staff major analysis in front of you. You'll note that in Section 1, unless someone is really interested in this, I don't know if you'd like me to read all this.
I wouldn't.
I don't really want you to.
I've heard it.
But there are several other members of the committee who probably want to look at that and make sure that they see what this bill does. And I have to. It changes one thing because we're not using that particular part of the law now. That's on page 1.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Okay.
I will read it.
No, you don't have to read it. Just sort of summarize it. Adds language that says that they can have a suspension hearing in a county other than the residence of the person if they both agree on it, which I think is a good change. It adds that to another section, makes it clear that the notification, what is Section 4 doing? Okay.
Madam Chair, Section 4 makes clear that the notification of the non-resident suspension should be sent to the appropriate authority. Right now, I think it says the Motor Vehicles Division, and that's not always who handles suspensions in other states.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Monroe.
Is the bill that essentially
says that if your driver's license is suspended in another state, you can't hop across the border and get one here?
No.
This isn't the one?
No.
That's a different bill.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is, this, that would be a kind of a different kind of a change, and this is a cleanup. There's one that changes the language on judicial review, Section 5. Okay. The last section makes it clear that the court tells the division about the suspension. Okay? Now, we've got an amendment where we had to add some words.
Madam Chair, Senator...
What amendment is this?
This is Senator Frye's amendment,
okay.
And it didn't come out of council, so that's... But they've looked at it.
Okay, but it has been reviewed by legislative council.
Yes, it just needs to be printed in LC.
Okay. You have before you a page of the bill copied out. It's page 3, and I will identify these amendments as Senator Frye's amendments dated 3/22/84, and on page 3 of the printed bill, they add language that says rules adopted under... That should go where?
It goes after the comma following vehicle code.
Oh, I see, that's a comma.
It's rules adopted under ORS.
Okay. I'm sorry, it doesn't look like a comma on mine. It looks like a period because the machine didn't copy it real well. Okay. So is there any objection to those amendments? Not so ordered. There a motion to send this out? Senator Frye moves Senate Bill 111 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Janet, please call the roll.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Kim?
Aye.
Senator Frye?
Aye.
Senator Steve?
Aye. Passes. Anyone wanting to carry this wonderful one? Is there any way I could? You want to? You've
I
got
don't,
so many.
I don't mind. It's right. Simple and again befits the person who's carrying it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Now 118.
Yes, Madam Chair. 118 was introduced by the Joint Interim Committee on the Revision of the Motor Vehicle Code once again, and it clarifies the definition of driver's license. This clarification was made at the request of the Attorney General's office, and they also testified at the Monday night subcommittee meeting, and we have no problems with this bill.
Okay. Yes, this was a concern that the Attorney General's office raised when we were working in the interim, because they always had one or two people who followed the process, and they requested this change, and that's what this bill does. Says the driver term driver license may be used interchangeably with license, and either term may be used in all of the other ways that are listed there. Is there any more discussion on this? Senator Monroe moves Senate Bill 118 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Janet, please call the roll.
Senator Brenneman?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Simmons?
Aye.
Senator Timms?
Aye.
Senator Frye?
Aye.
Aye. Anybody want to carry this one?
I would suggest we ask somebody from the AG's office.
Yeah, that's their idea.
Let's see. How's our score doing?
Oh, I can take it.
Want
me to carry it?
Senator Monroe, would you?
All right.
Yeah, thanks. I don't always call on the person that I want to have carry a bill, you understand. It just sometimes it's coincidence.
Can I just say this is a picky little bill that some lawyer in the AG's office thinks we need?
Well, actually, I think it was something that Jack Solis asked for, wasn't it? Or was it Miriam? No, it was my constituent, Miriam. She's moved out of the district now.
Did she move into Senator Monroe's district?
I don't remember. I think she moved to the west side. Claudia.
I probably should have said something, and in fact, Monday night at the Attorney General's office probably should have been more clear in their testimony, but the reason, this looks like a very nitpicky bill, the reason they were concerned about this is because they are the ones that are constantly having to defend the state on a lot of rather strange court cases that involve what a driver's license is, believe it or not. I mean, hundreds of them a year. And it is very important to them to have a clear definition of driver's license so that they don't get into little nitpicky court battles based on the wording in the law, and that's why they wanted the bill.
Okay. Now, Senate Bill 209 is up for work session next. Senate Bill 209 is a warm, fuzzy bill, and it proves that government agencies do have a heart. And so you can all fight over who wants to carry this warm, fuzzy bill. The people that it usually affects, I suspect, are senior citizens, right? Yes, because what this bill does is let the Motor Vehicles Division, when someone has been required to have a re-examination of their driving privileges, which is frequently someone who is an older person that either the police or someone in their family has become concerned about, and it says that when that happens and they have failed it, and they have to go through they have all sorts of opportunities to, I think they have three times to get a shot at trying to pass it. And so if they finally fail it, then it says that the Motor Vehicles Division, without charge, will give them an identification card, which would then be something they could use for identification instead of the driver's license that they've been using for identification all these years. And so I think this is a bill that shows that in some instances a government agency does have a heart.
And a senior citizen, Madam Chair, is defined as anybody over 35.
Over 35. Well, I don't think that it says senior citizens, but in fact that's who usually is. Okay. Is there any discussion on this bill?
Madam Chair.
Senator Monroe.
These warm, fuzzy identification cards would be complete with photographs, as are the driver's license.
That is correct. Yes. With sounds photograph and all of those good things. Senator Timms?
Madam Chair, what's the fiscal impact? Are there a lot of these that are issued, or is it...
Very few. How many are we talking about? Dennis, you want to come put that on the record? The reason I found out so much about this, I might add, is that I'm the elected official who serves on the Portland Multnomah Commission on Aging, and we went over a lot of senior-type issues, and this was one of the ones that people expressed a concern about, and so we asked the people from the Motor Vehicles Division to come meet with our committee and talk about it, and they gave us a lot of information. Dennis, how many people?
Madam Chair, Dennis Rice, Motor Vehicles Division. There's about 669 people who we suspend each year for failure to pass tests.
So?
But we've expected maybe to make some revenue out of this bill, because these people who now fail the test just turn in their license and oftentimes don't get anything. And under this bill, we will give them an ID card, which they'll renew, but the renewal fee on it will be less than what it would have been for the driver's license, so it's going to save them money, too.
So though you issue it to begin with, then when they renew it, they must pay the renewal fee,
The original one will be free, and it'll have the same expiration date as the license that they're turning in that was suspended.
But the renewal fee is...
It'll be $7. It's $6 less than the driver's license renewal fee.
So it's $7. So you only have a heart once.
But we are charging less than we would for driving.
Line 35 of page 8 for renewal of an identification card, $5. Has that been changed in another bill then?
Yeah, I believe the fee that's in here is the fee that's reflected in 2031, and those fees were changed last session.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Senator Brenneman.
This would also apply to anybody that the court directs to give up their license for any criminal charge?
No. It's Madam only Chair. A person who is... Go ahead, Dennis. Oh,
Senator Brenneman. It'll only apply to those persons whose licenses have been suspended for failure to pass tests, or those people who, on their own volition, because they recognize they can no longer drive, surrender their driver's license.
Yeah. So my mother-in-law, who decided she was going to stop driving, would have been given an ID card.
If she'd applied for one, yes.
Any further questions?
After that blatant confession of a conflict of interest, Madam Chair.
Is Senator Tennis?
Madam Chair, could I ask Senator Simmons a question?
Oh, it's fine with me. Will you yield to a question?
Senator Simmons, would you be against paying for your replacement license? Or identification card, I should say, not license.
I would not personally object. However, with my munificent salary from the legislature, I'm probably better off than many senior citizens, Senator Timms.
I think we're providing a service. I can't really think why senior citizens wouldn't want to pay for their, you know, card. And I understand where you're coming from. Probably in your area, my area, I'm sure they'd want to pay for their card. See why they should get a free card.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator Timms, they will pay for the renewal. It's just the original one.
I know.
They've already paid for the driver's license.